The American Red Cross is operating a virtual family assistance center in New York to help those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. I spoke with Dr. James Halpern, who serves on the board of directors of the Hudson Valley chapter of the Red Cross. Now retired, he was the founding director of the Institute for Disaster Mental Health at SUNY New Paltz. The American Red Cross is operating a virtual family assistance center in New York to help those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. I spoke with Dr. James Halpern, who serves on the board of directors of the Hudson Valley chapter of the Red Cross. Now retired, he was the founding director of the Institute for Disaster Mental Health at SUNY New Paltz. After the 9/11 attacks, Halpern led the first team of mental health workers at Ground Zero. As a volunteer with the American Red Cross, he went to Connecticut the day after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings in 2012 to provide counseling, and he's provided disaster grief counseling around the world. Now his attention has turned to the Red Cross Virtual Family Assistance Center.
New York State right now is the only state that has a virtual family assistance center that is comprised of a licensed mental health person who is either a psychologist, social worker, mental health counselor, and a spiritual care provider who is a chaplain who can work with people of any or no faith, and a health care person as well who can help with health-related questions, logistics, and so forth. Typically, one of those three is a lead person, but we can refer to another. American Red Cross is really one of the few agencies that understands and appreciates the importance of cooperation between disaster mental health and spiritual care. So this is a very religious country, and there are certainly people who are more comfortable speaking to a spiritual care provider. And in times like these, those folks are often needed. With these kinds of family assistance teams, a mental health care provider can refer a client to a spiritual care person if there are issues of faith, belief, changes in faith, belief, practice that they want to speak about. And similarly, a spiritual care person can refer a client to mental health if there's clear signs of depression and or anxiety. So that kind of teamwork is very unusual in our culture where there aren't often those kinds of referrals. I think it's something that's very important and powerful. And of course, both spiritual care and disaster mental health are very much trained to understand the importance of listening and of a supportive presence, and understand that that can be so helpful to a client who is in shock and is struggling with grief and loss, trying to make sense of the world. And having someone who is a trained listener and who can provide feedback, letting the client know that they are heard, that in and of itself turns out to be extremely therapeutic as the client tries to make sense out of what has happened and what is happening.
How does this compare? What's the difference here in terms of disaster mental health?
There's something that's really quite different about this. It certainly is going to impact, kill, and last longer than any disaster in our history. I find it not satisfying that the governor sometimes makes reference to cabin fever. And that's very minor compared to a lot of the much more serious issues that survivors and clients are dealing with. What makes this different is that it is unseen. Unlike, you know, the danger is unseen. We don't know if we have the disease, if we could be infecting someone else, if someone else could be infecting us, if when we open a door. So there's something that's very unnerving, anxiety producing about all of that. And there's every reason for people to feel in fear and in danger. There is absolute threat out there. And it hasn't passed. So with all of the other disasters, even the horrific school shootings, they end. Sometimes there are rumors that there's soon to be another one, but they end. And that's obviously true for the natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, floods. This one has no end in sight. And we've never been more divided. So it is so helpful to our recovery to feel together, to feel some sense of unity, to share information, to share useful information. But there seems to be a group of Americans who completely distrust one group of media experts and another group of Americans who distrust other media experts. So we are very much not getting the same facts, don't agree on the same facts, the same way to remedy the situation. I don't recall that ever being part of a response to an event like this, any kind of a disaster.
And the whole need for this family assistance center out of the Red Cross is that when have we experienced in this country losing loved ones and not being able to be with them?
Yes, I think our healthcare workers are very accustomed to working with death and dying, but never so many, and never so many bad deaths. And that is a phrase that is commonly used in the healthcare world, whereas in a good death, there can be a gradual opening and acceptance, coming to peace with the past, people making choices about how they're going to die, getting some comfort in the universality of death. And one of the very major tragedies of this epidemic is that it denies patients and families any opportunity for healing, psychological or spiritual preparation. And yes, healthcare workers do all they can to try to make the connection between the patient and the family with iPads and such, but very difficult, especially when the patient is intubated or on morphine, which is all a very positive thing as those patients are more comfortable. And patients are, for the most part, not in pain when they are in comas on ventilators and not in a state of anxiety because of the morphine or Ativan, but not having any kind of a good death. Very hard for families and very hard for healthcare professionals. Another novel aspect of this event is what has been referred to in the literature as a shared trauma reality, which is that the healthcare providers, the mental health care providers, and clients all have similar fears and concerns. They could all be struggling with financial fears and concerns. They're concerned about the well-being of their kids and their families. They're concerned about catching the disease, having to be quarantined and separated from their families and their loved ones. That's very novel for us in this country to have that kind of shared trauma reality.
Dr. James Halpern serves on the board of directors of the Hudson Valley chapter of the Red Cross. He's developed a video webinar called Recognizing and Managing Stress for Healthcare Workers in a Public Health Emergency. It was sent to area hospitals and many local nursing homes, and a link to the form for help at the American Red Cross Virtual Family Assistance Center is at WAMC.org. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.